Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from The Athletic, joins us thanks to Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. Nate, good to have you on the show, man. Appreciate you working with us on the schedule and everything. So I'll just start with a question on everybody's mind. What are you hearing? What's the latest here with Patrick Mahomes and the ankle? I could have just re-aired that question from 3 years ago and 2 years ago, I think.
good morning, fellas. Thank you for having me on. And happy to adjust here. Look, I just want to remind everybody in my beloved hometown that we know the quarterback, right? We know who this man is. We have 8 years of evidence. He's going to try, guys. He really is. Like, he's maniacal in this sense, which is to be applauded and obviously respected. But he's going to try. He's going to try to practice. I reported that yesterday on theathletic.com. Now, again, I don't know if he's going to practice today, if this is going to be basically the rest period, which also I would understand why they would choose to do that, them being the Chiefs, because obviously when was the last time Carson Wentz had first team reps? Let me tell you something, kids. It's been in August.
True.
So you could say, hey, let's try to reduce the swelling, the soreness as much as we can. Obviously, you're not going to get rid of the pain. But my belief is that Patrick is going to try to practice, whether it's Wednesday or Thursday, obviously heading into Saturday's game. And again, everybody, this is Andy Reid. This is the oldest coach in the NFL, which means he does things by old school rules, which means if you don't practice, you don't play. Patrick knows that, and unless, you know, I think the only experience we've really had is that's similar to this, if Patrick doesn't practice, is of course in the 2021 postseason when he had the concussion against Cleveland. He had to go through each part of the concussion protocol to get ready to play against the Buffalo Bills in the AFC Championship game. So that's one exception, but it hasn't been a lot of times where Andy's let you miss the entire week of practice and then allowed you to play in the game. So Patrick understands that. I don't think this is as bad as it was in 2022 in terms of, you know, that postseason game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. So there's a chance, but he's maniacal enough that he's probably going to practice, whether it's in some limited capacity, whether it's, you know, Wednesday or Thursday.
I just kind of go back to like that clip, like anytime, like we just had Vinny Pasquantino on. We asked him like if somebody tried to keep Bobby out of a game, and he was like, "Do you think he plays 161 because the coaching staff wants him to?" Like, that's just not how it works. I go back to that clip right when he was hurt and he had to be helped off the field, and he was yelling at Andy, "I'm good, I'm good," and he's like, "Go get an X-ray, and then we'll decide if you're good." Like, Andy stood up to him in that moment, but Pat still got back in the game, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And again, I don't think no one's told me it's as bad as it was in that postseason run in 2022. Right. Again, I just want to remind everybody, he was so stiff the Wednesday before the AFC Championship game. So stiff. I thought, the man can barely walk. How's he going to play football? Guess what, kids? He played one of the most admirable, commendable AFC Championship games we have ever seen, and choosing the perfect time to use his legs to get in field goal range, obviously, before the end of regulation. Now, I understand why a lot of people are saying, okay, you have these two games in a 10-day window. If you want to give Patrick all 10 days, you should rest him because you do have essentially a one-game lead in the one seed, and then obviously you can roll him back out against the Pittsburgh Steelers. The reason why you would also do that, too, is there's a much better chance that DJ Humphries is available to play that game as well versus Saturday, right? He's like sort of the sub, he's sort of the subplot to all of this week where, you know, there was no chance he was playing against the Browns. There's a small chance he might play against the Texans. But again, based on what Joe Tooney did against the Browns, you could at least, you know, use him as another gap starter for another week. But that might be one of the deciding factors too. Hey, not only is it about Patrick's individual health, it's also the health of his supposedly starting left tackle who also got hurt in his first game this season after coming off an ACL. So if you want to give him another 10 days, you might time both of those players to be ready to go on Christmas Day against the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's one theory I've heard that could lead, you know, the team to say, hey, we need to see something from Carson Wentz. It's the reason why we obviously signed him in the offseason. And by the way, even if you play on Saturday, there's no guarantee you get DJ Humphries to be your left tackle as well.
I was going to ask you about Humphries because I think in the first half against the Browns, there was a lot of people that were saying, well, okay, well, they found their left tackle solution. It's Joe Tooney. Good to go. And then second half happened. We're like, oh, wait, this is still maybe not the best thing in the world. So DJ Humphries, in your what you know, they're going to give him at least one other crack at this thing?
I think so. I think they're going to see how he does throughout the course of the week. That's one of the more difficult things is obviously hamstring injuries are nagging. And it's, by the way, kids, it's his left hamstring, which you kind of need that when you're trying to protect the edge against a edge rusher, whether that's Will Anderson or obviously TJ Watt if he's on the field on Christmas Day. They're going to see how he does throughout this week. There's obviously a chance he could play. I would give him maybe a greater percentage than Patrick Mahomes just because of the schedule nature of what this team is trying to do. But I also understand the fact that, hey, Joe Tooney is capable, but there's a reason, kids, why he's not a left tackle, okay? He doesn't have the greatest arm length. He's so technically sound, but I think in the second half, the Browns, whether it's Myles Garrett or just the whole coaching staff, figured out, okay, this is the way we can beat him. And so for a half, you got away with it because there was no tape of how Joe Tooney was going to look as the left tackle. That's why you sort of hide that secret as long as you can. But, you know, these coaches are smart, and Myles Garrett is, you know, the presumptive, you know, defensive player of the year, and he just bull rushed the hell out of Joe Tooney. I don't know how much he can withstand that week after week, but what he did was admirable. So, again, you might see Saturday in the regular season home finale, Joe Tooney protecting, you know, Carson Wentz just because you still have a lead in the race for the one seed. And depending on what Buffalo does, you might need to win the last two games of the regular season, whether that's against, obviously, the Steelers on Christmas Day, and then you get sort of an extended period before you play, I would assume, the Denver Broncos on that Saturday before the Sunday slate if the Chiefs need to win to get the one seed. So might say, let's keep both of these guys on the shelf because they need as much rest as possible if we have to win the last two games of the regular season.
Nate, I don't think the stat sheet tells the whole story on quarterback play often, especially sometimes this year with Mahomes, where I thought he played better than maybe it would indicate based on score or that, and he was kind of overcoming some of that. I did not think that about the last game. I thought this was the worst game he played all season. Do you agree? And I guess if you do, what went wrong?
You know, that's interesting because I understand what you're saying, Cody. I still don't think he played terrible. I mean, he had a couple touchdowns, no interceptions, although he did throw in the double covers to Justin Watson.
Yeah, when he had wide open Worthy on that one, too.
Yes, yes. But he's had misses all year, very similar to that in terms of his reads or, you know, basically not even letting that part of the play be available to him based on his pre-snap reads and obviously his film study. I don't know if that was his worst game of the year. I think you can make an argument that against the Raiders was pretty bad because, you know, the left tackle play and the fact that, like, he let his frustrations, you know, sort of seep out and he never found a way to sort of get himself balanced. I think he started the game against the Browns a lot better than they did against the Raiders. I know divisional games are a little bit more tricky because there's obviously the inherent history with one another. I don't feel like it was that bad, but at the same time, too, like, every once in a while, Jawan Taylor's getting pushed into my lap. Okay, I have to speed up my clock because, yeah, Joe Tooney's back there. Mike Caliendo hadn't played all season. That's his first career start. So, you know, like I'm a little – footwork's all over the place. Accuracy's a little up and down. I just want people to understand this. For as well as Josh Allen has played this season, there are stretches – in just about every game this season where I thought Patrick Mahomes is still the best quarterback on God's green earth. And it's wild to say that because Josh Allen has been so freaking good, and even Lamar Jackson against weaker competition can do something similar. Patrick has still had a marvelous season. When you put it into the context of the entire circumstances surrounding him, and it was, you could almost argue it was bound to happen because he was taking on so much of a burden, both physically, mentally, and, hey, man, can you drag us across the finish line for another one-score game? I try to give a little bit of leniency on the fact that, like, not every game's going to be great. It was also very windy, very wet. I mean, the Browns are terrible. You don't have to bring your A game. Like, you really don't. But the problem is he couldn't even get through the game because I thought the coaching staff did him a disservice more than his actual play was to be criticized more. Again, I understand your question, Cody, and I understand the thought process, but the coaching staff put him out there on a 4th-and-3 when there was no need to go for it on 4th-and-3 with a 2-score lead when you can just punt the ball away.
Yeah, we talked about some of those, I thought, coaching blunders. That was one of them, just the idea of having a 2-touchdown lead and having 2 3-and-outs, not trying to run the football once. He challenged a play that was already replay assisted, if I'm not mistaken, which that makes no sense. You're challenging the people you need to challenge it, you know, to overturn it again. Like, you're still odd. And look, and it's like, whenever we say that, there's always somebody on the text line that'll be like, so, you know, he's going to be one of the greatest coaches of all time. Like, yes, that still applies, but it doesn't mean there aren't still mistakes. Nobody's saying he's not the best coach and I would trade him with any other coach in football.
He had a bad day.
But it was not a good day at the office.
No. They were, it's such a strange thing, like, and I know some people have sort of put this out there, they were so focused in, like, the first quarter, you could say even for the first half, right? It's unfortunate that coaching blunders leads to Harrison Butker screaming at his long snapper, "Where are you?" Then he misses the field goal. It compounds. But overall, from an offensive coaching standpoint, I thought, hey, that's a pretty clean first half. Patrick didn't get killed. They were wise to get the ball out on time, to use some misdirection, some creativity. Hey, they have a lead, which is what people have been asking for weeks. Like, hey, can you just get a 2-score lead and sort of salt the game away? And then I don't know what the hell happened after halftime where – it was almost like they just started getting greedy. When, again, there's no need to get greedy when you know the moment you walked into that stadium, hey, man, we have 3 games in 11 days. Like, we shouldn't put anything on film if we don't have to, because we have such a grind and a time crunch in terms to game plan for the next two opponents, by the way, going to be in the playoffs. And, you know, this could be the first part of a rematch that, you know, we need to figure out a way to sort of win, but also not get, like, not show too much. Or, like, hey, why is Carson Steele's jersey clean? Why? Like, he's out there. He needs reps. Like, use him. It's one of the most baffling things I've seen of an Andy Reid coached, you know, of a whole coaching organization. I won't really put the defense into this sort of realm, but the idea of, like, okay, if you're going to bring Harrison Butker back, but he can't do kickoffs, huh?
Then don't bring him back. Yeah.
We were going to talk about that. What do you think the thought process was there? We know what kind of kicker he is when he's healthy, but Matthew Wright was doing fine filling in. If you need another week to be able to kick off, or if you think the miss was just because of the guys running on the field late, maybe that's fine. Otherwise, you know, Lawrence Tynes, former Chiefs kicker, obviously everybody knows who he is. He was on Twitter saying that Butker is still doing something that's not sustainable, which is the what he's doing with his plant leg, the knee drop. Yeah.
Yes. The knee drop, which, you know, if you look at film earlier this year, he wasn't doing it nearly as often as he did it previous to the injury. So, or previous to him needing surgery. Yeah, I think a little bit of it is the just misbungling of the operation in terms of getting out there. But they understand that, hey, if we can give Harrison Butker 4 games, then he will sort of get back in rhythm. He'll get locked in. He'll be ready to go for the postseason. Okay, that's fine. I kind of understand that from a big picture standpoint. But also, Massey Wright hasn't missed a kick all time since he was here. And, yes, you can say, like, kicking in Cleveland is not easy. I mean, it's going to be cold. It's going to be windy. A lot of kickers miss, especially in the second half of the season. But you're the better team. Like, it shouldn't – you know, it really shouldn't come down to it if you're handling your business. And, of course, Jameis Winston is Jameis Winston. So I thought that was perplexing. It's good reps for Justin Reed in terms of the kickoff because you might use that element in a playoff game, of course, against a pretty good return team. But some of the decisions the coaching staff made or were allowed to make were easily criticizable. Like, you could easily criticize them for saying, hey, you know, you shouldn't be passing the ball this often when your quarterback's already dealt with an ankle injury before, and now he's as healthy as you could possibly be. But again, 3 games in 11 days. Hey, yeah. Maybe we shouldn't have Chris Jones take a million snaps. By the way, 3 games in 11 days. Hey, maybe we shouldn't have Harrison Butker. You know, we don't need him right now. We literally don't need him. He's coming off of a knee surgery, okay? Not a minor thing. We don't need him right now, but I mean, I guess if you just I know he's the highest paid kicker, but like, we just got to put him back out there. I guess there's been a disconnect. There's been a disconnect for the last couple, I would say there's been a disconnect for the last month in terms of like what could and should have been done versus what the team has chosen to do to get wins. And congratulations, you've won a lot of these games, but you are seeing the cumulative effect and the burden and the grind as you're trying to get the one seed, and now your quarterback's in jeopardy.
Yeah, what doesn't make sense is they usually have been the opposite. Like, the thing I warned the audience of, Nate, is like, hey, if you think a guy's coming back Saturday, try a Saturday from now or the Saturday after that, and then you'll probably get their realistic timeline. And for some reason, they rushed Butker back, which made just no sense to me after watching him kick. Speaking of one person who I don't think is being rushed back, but I might as well ask, we all assume the announcement of Clyde Edwards-Helaire being released by the team yesterday is because Hollywood Brown's coming back. He playing on Saturday?
That's one possibility. The other one, too, is, and I wondered about this yesterday once the news came out, Dave Merritt's got to be like, does Dave Merritt still have hair on the top of his head?
I don't know, man. I'd be losing it.
He's got to be losing it.
You think they're activating Steven Nelson or something?
So that's a possibility, right? Like, hey, kid. Like, by the way, this is the same thing they did to DJ Humphrey. They might do to Steven Nelson. Hey, congratulations. Great to have you aboard the team. Hey, man, just hang out this week. Just, like, just grasp everything. Get your head in the playbook. You know, you're a veteran. You've been through this. Next week. Yeah, remember everything I just said? Scrap all that. Ready to play. Because, God, we need you. And I just wonder, again, against better competition, that they were like, all right, we're going to start Joshua Williams. He'll be fine. Get Narvi in there. Chris Roland Wallace. I'm just like, guys, like, what are we doing? So, yes, Hollywood Brown will probably play, I would think, on Christmas Day more so than Saturday. But, hey, you never know. Maybe it's another just element to throw out there for Carson Wentz if Carson Wentz is the starter. But I also think, too, that, like, hey, can we get Steven Nelson 3 games? Can he hold up? Can he give us anything that is like semblance of competence? Or like, hey, he won't make a major mistake, you know, whereas there's just a lot more variance of like, Joshua Williams, really good play. Joshua Williams, what was that? You know, and it's like, Najee Johnson, hey, nice play on 4th down. Najee Johnson, can you not shed a block, son? You know, it's like they just have such a roller coaster ride at cornerback too. I also thought about that as well, as to like,
with Connor too, right? I mean, there's no way Connor's playing Saturday. Yeah. He didn't know where the hell he was at.
Correct. Yeah. Connor's in the concussion protocol. Statistically, you have less than a 50% chance on a short week when you have a concussion on game day. So
I'll say, I love Jaden Hicks' play, so that's fine with me.
Yeah. I mean, hey, he needs the experience and I understand that, but of course you're down one body without anybody that you've replaced so far, i.e. can Steven Nelson play on the outside to where Trent McDuffie can go back to his natural position, which I don't know, guys, but like when Tamari Connor got hurt, unfortunately, hey, Trent, go back in that slot or go back to being the versatile cornerback outside, inside. And man, he played really well. The highest graded player and Pro Football Focus's evaluation of Sunday's game. So, you know, if Steven Nelson's on the field or at least available, that can give you another player to put on the perimeter to whereas, hey, Nico Collins or whoever's in the slot for the Texans, you could put Trent McDuffie and feel pretty good about that matchup.
All right, Nate, we'll let you go, man. I know you got some press conference and media availability coming up. We'll hear from Andy Reid at 11:45. We'll check in next week. Thanks.
Yeah, man. Anytime. And just by the way, I just want to tell the audience, if you think Andy Reid is telling us anything, that's...
Why would you say that? We're trying to get him to listen to this. Andy's going to say everything.
Hey, please, I'm going to try to do my job, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to listen. Obviously, I love 96 times, but also...
He's going to put the x-ray up on the screen and give point by point about what's going on with the ankle.
If you think Andy Reid's going to be like, sure, I know exactly what we're doing. Oh, boy, that would be a new one.